If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Psalm 136. Psalm 136. Now, you don't have to. This psalm was written originally for sort of Passover remembrance. That theme becomes pretty obvious as we go, but also it was written as a psalm of response. So the refrain, the second part of every verse, was to be a response from the congregation. So sometimes I think congregational readings just go badly, to be honest. But as we go, if you feel, and without any obligation, but if you want to respond by saying that line, "His love endures forever," if that's a genuine heart response, then please feel free. Okay, so we won't make it like an imposed congregational reading, but if you want to speak the words, you're more than welcome to do so. So Psalm 136, this is the word of God. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights, his love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night, his love endures forever. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, his love endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them, his love endures forever. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, his love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder, his love endures forever, and brought Israel through the midst of it, his love endures forever, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea, his love endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, his love endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, his love endures forever, and killed mighty kings, his love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, his love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, his love endures forever. And gave their land as an inheritance, his love endures forever. An inheritance to his servant Israel, his love endures forever. He remembered us in our low estate, his love endures forever. And freed us from our enemies, his love endures forever. He gives food to every creature, his love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, his love endures forever." A number of years ago, I read this psalm at a nursing home. Kathy Clemens was playing the piano. Les was leading the service. Jim was there. And it was the nursing home, so I read the psalm, and I said, "So, did anyone pick out the theme? Jim, God's patience. Thank you. Thank you for helping a young person in ministry. That's really helpful." Unbelievable. Amazing we brought you home that night. This on Friday, I had a Zoom call with missionaries in Ireland, and they were sharing with me about their ministry, and it was very, very informative. It was very interesting. Apparently, the region of Ireland that they're in is analogous. It's very much like Quebec, sort of so much historical problem with religious factions. Imposed Roman Catholicism, political economic tensions with England. And so they're just sharing about sort of the work that they're in, that they're doing. And actually, their sort of their sending church is Emmanuel Baptist in Bloomfield, just down in the county. And so I told them that this morning I would pray for them, that we as a church would pray for them. So I'm going to do that and also pray that God will guide us in his word. Our Father, we would ask that you would help us to understand your word and help us to just enter into the glory of the reality that your love endures forever. Help us to enter into this and to praise you for your unfailing chesed, your unfailing, eternal, everlasting, unchanging love for us. And Father, we do pray for those who are ministering in your name in our country, but also around the world, in whatever field, whatever church, whatever group you have called them to. We pray that you will encourage them and strengthen them, give them wisdom and power in the Spirit through the Word, and may they see great fruit, Lord. Keep them from discouragement. May they know your love, and may they know that your love endures forever, wherever they are, and may they persevere. And for Scott and Andrea, Lord, I just pray that in a special way you will minister to them and through them in the field where they are in Ireland, and that their hearts will be strengthened in grace, and that there will be conversions and eternal life. There will be regeneration, that people will come to know Jesus, and that those who are saved will continue to grow in discipleship and knowledge and sanctification. Lord, as a global church, we are united in our shared faith with Jesus, and we all need to grow. So help us, even this morning here in our church, in our local assembly, Lord. Bless us, we pray, for the glory of your name and because of your eternal love. We commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So although patience is a great theme of this psalm, it is eclipsed by God's love enduring forever. And the refrain comes up so often, you can almost start to miss it. It can almost just become background noise. But what you're supposed to do is it is intentionally designed to anchor everything you're thinking about in this reality. It's categorically and literally all of life is to be perceived under the everlasting, unchanging, eternal love of God. Everything you experience is to be experienced in reference to the eternal, unchanging love of God. And so it's not just sort of a literary device to be creative, although there is artistic creativity here. It's intentional, and it's supposed to be meaningful every time. Every time it's said, it's to be said with worship. God's love actually endures forever. Forever. It doesn't change. God's mind does not change about us. He does not decide to love us today. And that love is conditioned on, will we be good enough tomorrow for him to continue to love us? God's love is unconditional for his people. And it will never change. It is absolutely eternal. And so what you get then is if the chesed, that is that covenant loyalty, faithfulness, mercy, compassion, love of God, if it's God's and it's forever, then it's also infinite. Because whatever properties God has, he has infinitely. And so for God to be love, he is maximally love. He's not lacking in love in any way. And so if God loves you as the eternal infinite God, he loves you infinitely, and he will love you forever. He loves you eternally. In fact, one of the things that you find, and this is pretty neat. God loved you before he said, let there be light, and there was light. God loved you. God knew you, knew your genetics, DNA. He knew your name. He knew your heart. He knew your personality. He knew your mind. He knew every word you would speak. He knew everything you would do. He knew everything you would fail to do. And he loved you before he made the world. And we know this because God planned not only to create, but he planned to redeem what he knew would be a fallen world. He planned to send his son to live and to die to save the unrighteous so that they could be restored into a relationship with him and live forever in glory. And this is all before anything even existed except for God. Before he created, he knew you. And so his love for you, it's not just eternal going forward, it's eternal going backwards. To the point where you get to atemporal reality. That is, you get to a point before there even is time. God loved you all of his existence. Because he doesn't change, so he doesn't start loving what he doesn't love. Which means as long as God has existed, he has loved his people. And he always will. And that's what the psalmist celebrates. And that's why he can't help but say it over and over and over and over again. God actually loves us forever. And then it becomes personal. His love endures forever. His love for me endures forever. A lot of things will change in life. A lot of things change in this world. Thursday night, I was speaking to medical students associated with the University of Western, and things that doctors and people training to be doctors today have to confront in our society, navigating medical issues of referrals and all sorts of things. If you step back into the 1950s, being a practicing nurse or doctor could look very different from what it looks like today. Right? We have legalized abortion. Well, it's not just legalized, we have no laws at all about abortion, which you would think someone could get around to either way. We have medical assistance in dying, not just the opening legislation, but widening of criteria and categories. We have gender reassignment surgeries, hormone blockers, etc. And you just think, what's defined as healing and what's defined as harm is very different today from what a consensus would have been even 20 years ago. And then there are other areas. Education may be one. Right? There's certain things to try to navigate there. Society is changing. Like the advent of even smartphones. Like the one thing no one uses a phone for anymore is calling and talking. Right? And so like the internet, like it just is, things are so different. And things are changing so much. And you know, and it's like, well you think about something like COVID, how different was the world during that time, right? I mean, you think about our political situation, broadly speaking, North America. Like, I won't say anything else about that. Just look at it. Where is there any stability? Like, anywhere. Honestly, as a Canadian, I think probably, let's say 1980, it's a random, specific year, you probably had a reasonable sense of what society would be like in 1990. That's my guess. You don't really know who's going to be in the prime minister, but you roughly know this is how our society works.
How many of you are confident you really know what Canadian society will be like 10 years from now? I don't. And it's not fear-mongering, it's just a reality. Like, my hope is it'll be a lot better. Like that is possible. Might be a lot worse. It might be almost unrecognizable. So if I'm looking for anything solid, I can no longer look to societal institutions. I can't look to economic stability. I can't look to government. I can't look to social media. You basically have two things to build your life on. The rock solid assurance the Leafs will not win the cup. That's one. That's a life of despair and depression. Or if you're a Montreal Canadiens fan, glee and joy. Either way. Or you can build your life on the fact that God's love endures forever. That's literally today. And I think as Canadians, we should almost be thankful that we are either have arrived at or will soon be at a place where everything is so volatile and all the foundations are shaking and quaking and crumbling, that we realize that if we're looking for hope and stability and assurance in us as a collective group, we're never going to have it. We have to look for something meaningful and enduring that transcends us. And we have that because we have a transcendent God whose love endures forever. And so whatever changes are going to take place in our lives, in our families, in our society, in Madoc, in this church, whatever changes take place, God's love is not going to change. And that's what this psalm celebrates. That's why he tracks through historical moments, tracks through various things. Just no matter what has happened from the moment God created until the end of this age, God's love is going to be a constant and it's going to endure beyond this world all the way through eternity in the future. And you can build your life on that. This is a solid foundation that will never let you down. The chesed of God endures forever. The psalm starts with the call to give God thanks. Why? Because he's good. That's another of those beautiful foundation pieces to build your life on. God is worthy of thanks. Thanksgiving actually makes sense because we're not just lucky. You know, we don't just get a lot. We get blessings from God. And so we return thanks to God because he is good. His love endures forever. So note, the psalm, verses 1 through 3, give thanks to the Lord, give thanks to the God, give thanks to the Lord, and then verse 4 and following, to him who by, who spread, who made the sun, the moon, to him and brought. The first three verses are setting the tone for the rest of the psalm, but then that phrase, give thanks, is left off after the first three verses. But it's repeated three times to emphasize to you, everything you read is designed to get you to give thanks to God. And then you come back to it only in one place, and that's verse 26. That is, that's the last verse. So the psalm ends, give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever. So that's giving you your frame. It starts with giving thanks. It ends with giving thanks. Everything in between is going to be a reason for you to thank God and praise him for his undying, enduring love. So, not just something you say, but something you actually do from a thankful heart, giving praise to God. Give him thanks. And this is one of those times where realizing, preaching's what it is, right? But why don't you take 20 seconds, probably it'll probably be the happiest 20 seconds of all of my preaching ministry because I won't talk. And just search your heart and find one thing that you're thankful for and give that to God. So, I won't talk. Actually, let's do this. Let's not just talk about it. Let's give God thanks. Mercy and grace. Absolutely. Providing salvation. What else? What are you thankful for? Just our, pardon? Our country. God's word. Family. Just one more. His people, creation. Those go together. Old creation, new creation. Right? The creation of the people of God. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Now, note this as well. You start by giving thanks to God because he's good. That's character. You end by giving thanks to the God of heaven. That is, you're reminded God is good, but he's also awesome. Like, he's transcendent. He's not just your buddy. He's in heaven. And so, it's just like when Jesus teaches us to pray, our Father, art in heaven. It's a reminder, there's an intimate relationship here with an authority figure who's close to me, but also transcends everything. So we're giving thanks to the good God who rules the earth in the throne room of heaven. That's why, verse 2, he's the God of gods. He's the Lord of lords. This is the superlative. That is, you can't find anyone greater or bigger or higher than him. He's the God of the Elohim. That is, he's the God of the gods. He's the Lord of the lords. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. Verses 4 through 9 then specifically praise him for creation. He alone does great wonders. By his understanding, he made the heavens. This is actually something I'll say too. There has never been a group of... Everyone is able to go out and look up at the stars and be filled with awe. Okay? We're all... Well, I shouldn't... Well, maybe some of us don't have that capacity. But that is a normative or normal human response. Just to think that the stars are awesome. Beautiful, to be moved by that in a variety of ways. But there has never been a people in the history of the world who actually know as much about the universe as we do. There's never been a people in the history of the world who understands how much we can't understand the sheer magnitude of what this thing is that God has made. And then pictures that we get from, you know, I know this is sort of like now a previous generation that's been surpassed, but like the Hubble Space Telescope. You start seeing like these nebulae and all these, you know, cluster galaxies and all these things, y'all. And then you find out, like, oh, you know, that's just like however many light years. Like light travels at 186,000 miles a second. That's fast. And then you calculate that over a year. They're very light years, like lots and lots and lots and lots away. With a naked eye, we can see light because of how long it takes for light to travel. We can see light that left stars 500 years ago. So when you're seeing a star, usually, depending on distance, that's 200 to 500 years old, that light. That's how long it took, traveling at that speed, to reach your eye on Earth. You can't even begin to imagine what that is. That's really big, right? That's a lot of distance. And so if anyone's ever been able to say, he does great wonders, by his understanding he made the heavens, he didn't just make sort of like a black canvas backdrop and put some Christmas lights in it. You know, it's astounding what this universe is. And he made it. As a reminder, out of nothing. Just the sheer power of his will. He spread out the earth upon the waters. That is, he made habitats. He made the sky. He made the seas. He made the land and filled them with life. He made the great lights, the sun to govern the day, the moon and stars to govern the night. His love endures forever. Again, what you're being told is this. When you see the moon, you are to think about true and deep and enduring love. When you see the stars, you are to think about the deep love of God. When you see the sun, you are to give God thanks for his goodness because his love never fails. That is, all of creation is designed to get you to praise God and to recognize his covenant love. He's created a stable home where you can live in covenant with him. And so even the stars and the sun and the moon, all of that witnesses to the enduring love of God. Then verses 10 through 22 show God to be, you know, our redeemer, liberator, protector, guide, defender, conqueror. It's the Exodus motif. He brings Israel out of slavery. He frees them from oppression. He rescues their lives from murder. And then with the Passover, you have the substitutionary lamb slain, its blood put on the doorposts so that the angel of death passes by. That is, this is freedom from slavery, but even more so, because of the blood of the lamb, it is freedom from death. The lamb, quite literally, dies in your place. And if you are covered by the blood, the angel of death won't strike you down. So you live. And you only slaughter a lamb, which is very valuable, and cover your doorpost with blood, which is very odd, if you deeply trust the word of God. That is, it was a response of faith. I will believe God, that he will save me by trusting him to cover myself with the blood of a substitute. That obviously works through major biblical passages and categories until you get to Christ, who is introduced by John the Baptist with, "Behold," or introduced by John the Baptist with, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He is the fulfillment of this motif. And when we celebrate the Lord's Supper together, that's what we're being reminded of. Passover, with all of its significance, historically true, spiritually fulfilled by Jesus Christ. All of its significance given for us. Why? His love endures forever. He never gave up on his plan, which was motivated, according to John 3:16, a verse you may have heard of, it was motivated by the love of God. For God so loved that he sent his son. There would be no salvation, there would be no savior, if God's love didn't come first. Then he leads them into their inheritance. Salvation, blessing, union with Christ, heir of God, co-heir with Jesus. Ultimately, this will be fulfilled in new heavens and new earth. He redeems us by his blood to give us our inheritance. And those who fight against us, he defeats. Sihon and Og, these were kings who came out to oppose Israel on the march to the promised land. And with Sihon, Israel even sent delegations saying, look, we'll pay for it. Like, we'll just stay on the highway. We'll pay for anything that we touch. If we drink any water, we'll pay compensation for that. And Sihon sent his army out to destroy them. God fights the battles for his people. It wasn't their prowess or numbers or ability. It was God who took care of his people because his love endures forever. And then verses 23 through 26, it just shows us God's mercy and compassion. He remembered us in our lowest state. He freed us from our enemies. He gives food to every creature. That is, just like Isaiah, God lives in a high and holy place, but also dwells with the one who is contrite and humble in spirit, the one who is broken in heart. God is in heaven, but not too far away to care intimately and lovingly about every detail of your life. He's a God who is exalted and a God who is with you. A God who is transcended and immanent. A God who is over all things. And yet there is no one who can be closer to you than him. His love endures forever. He cares for his creation. He rules in heaven. He redeems his people. All because his love for us endures forever. So what can we count on? We don't even know what this afternoon is going to bring. How many surprises, how many things happened in 2023 that you didn't know were going to happen? Whatever happens in your life today and tomorrow, 2024, every day that you have in this world, God's love endures forever. So build your life on it and give him thanks and praise his name and know that there is no greater gift of love than Jesus Christ. There is nothing better than this. So that if the psalmist could celebrate, how much more should we who have the fulfillment of what he was celebrating? He was celebrating redemption and liberation from Egypt in the Exodus. And it was wonderful. It was good. It was a great work of God. But as much as that was a great work of God, it was also prophetic, showing that there was going to be a greater work of God fulfilled for us by and through Jesus. And so if the psalmist could look back at Exodus and be filled with praise for the love of God that endures forever, how much more should the people of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, look back at what Christ has done and be filled with praise for his love that endures forever? It's the lesser to the greater. That is, we should actually feel and love and be moved by Psalm 136 more than the person who wrote it in the first place. Now, this is not inspired. And it's perhaps not even very good. But this morning is in my office. I thought, you know what? I'm going to write something that takes this kind of framework, but praises God for what he has done for us in Christ. Because it's fulfillment. And so we're going to sing songs, and those songs aren't inspired either. But from a New Covenant Today Christian perspective, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. To him who sent his Son to earth, his love endures forever. To Christ, our righteous Lord and Savior, his love endures forever. Born of a virgin, baptized by John, his love endures forever. Tempted by Satan, yet never sinning, his love endures forever. Teaching, healing, conquering, caring, his love endures forever. Condemned without cause, hated, rejected, his love endures forever. Nailed to the tree, taking our place, his love endures forever. dying for us, paying our price. His love endures forever. Laid in the tomb, sealed with a stone, his love endures forever. The grave could not hold him. Death died in his death. His love endures forever. Raised back to life, resurrected in power, his love endures forever. Ascended to heaven at the Father's right hand, his love endures forever. Preparing for us our share of glory, his love endures forever. Right now, he is blessing Elsie DeMarsh, Gene Scott, Don McEwen, and all of his children. His love endures forever. One day he will call me. His love endures forever. To see him face to face. His love endures forever. And I will live in the love of the Lord forever. His love endures forever. Give thanks to our triune God. His love endures forever. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. His love endures forever. Let's sing together. Go in grace and peace.